On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Unforced Errors number 24. It's been a week or two. We got a lot to get to. Hey, Matt Robinson with you. Man. Lot going on. Did you hear there's a new president? Wild. I'd honestly, we've gotten a few tweets, a couple of posts on the old Facebook page. Actually, I don't know if that's true. It might have been mainly Twitter. Asking if we were going to weigh in on the election. Seems like a fair question, doesn't it? Weighed in on it plenty beforehand. Now a couple of days have gone by. The honest answer is probably not right now. At least not in a big way. I think probably the next time we get a co-host in here for Audio Whiplash, it'll come up. But right now the whole world's talking about it. And let's be honest, if you want to talk about it, that's great. And I think we should be talking about it. What happened? Why did it happen? Everyone's got their own opinions. The truth of the matter is it's probably a combination of a lot of things. And so we can sit here and we can have a conversation about it. And like I said, I'm sure within the next week or two we will. But right now, I feel like a lot of people are feeling kind of spent. So if you want to talk about it, we can do that. And we have been doing it quite a bit on the Tall Can Audio Twitter page, at Tall Can Audio, of course. If you want to learn about it, this is probably not the place for you. I would say we are reasonably well informed over here. We certainly have opinions on it. But a lot of this ties into the whole Brexit thing. There's things happening in France right now that politically, you know, there's some unrest there. And now we've seen it in America, too. And we're based here in Canada. And man, believe me, I'm one of them. There's some people jumping up and down going, holy crap, thank God it's not here. Well, it's on the fringes of getting here. We all need to be kind of vigilant. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with a conservative government, but we need to make sure we don't end up with a Trump-style conservative government. And for those of you laughing, thinking that's impossible, I would encourage you strongly, because I don't know if any of the networks picked it up this week, I would encourage you very strongly to take a look at some of the people currently involved in the leadership race for the Conservative Party here, the right-wing party here in Canada. There's at least one lunatic in there, a Lady Trump. So we need to be careful. We need to be vigilant because it is here as well. It's just not as strong yet. We are not immune to these things. Like I said, I don't want to get a ton into it, because there's a thousand different factors that went into it. But there was a very large group of people who, over the 8 years of Barack Obama, felt neglected. My government does not represent me for a thousand different reasons, whether they be financial, whether they be racial, whether they have to do with sexuality. There was a lot of reasons. But there was a ton of resentment. And when they had an opportunity to make their voices heard, they absolutely did it. And they did it in a big, loud way. And they made everybody hear them. You hear them now, whether you're happy to or not, whether you agree or not, we all hear it now. There are real issues, and the world is divided in a way that maybe it never has been before. This is not limited to America. So, I think for now, that's as far as I'm willing to go on that. I have my own thoughts and opinions. Those are usually left done in a conversational type setting. So maybe the next time we get Rob in here for Audio Whiplash, hopefully that's very soon. Hopefully we get that for you next week. I'm sure this will come up. Another quick item before we get to, I want to talk a little bit about the Leafs here. And I want to talk a little bit about their Centennial Classic jersey. We'll get to that in just a minute. Another story that's making the rounds right now that's interesting to me, so hopefully it's interesting to you, is sort of this CBC versus podcast application makers story. I will post a link to the story in the show notes for Unforced Errors number 24, which you can find at our sweet website. I can't believe I almost gave me the wrong web address. Tallcanaudio.com. It'll be there on the main page as the most recent episode of Unforced Errors, or across the top there. You can just click right onto the Unforced Errors section and see all of the episodes of this fine podcast. When you click into one of them, that's where you can find these links to these things that we talk about. So if there's ever something that we're talking about on any of these shows, a video or an article, you know, whatever it might be, there's a good chance we post a link to that when we post the show on the website. So it's worth heading over there to check that out if something strikes your fancy. So we will post an article to this story. Essentially, the way it was being shared around was a little unfair, and CBC needed to come out on Thursday and defend themselves, which they obviously had the right to do, because they were coming off a little crazy. CBC, like a lot of major networks now, produce podcasts. You may or may not know that if you're a talk radio fan, which is at least a reasonable possibility if you're listening to podcasts, because that's essentially what they are talk radio on your own schedule and at your own convenience. Many radio stations, many TV stations podcast their shows. Once the show is complete, it gets loaded up to their website and sent out to the different podcast applications. And I don't want to get technical on you here, so I'm going to make this as simple as possible. Every podcast is essentially an RSS feed. No matter what podcast application you are using, all it's doing is finding this list of links. That's the quickest, that's the easiest way I can look at this or explain this. It's a list of links. So you come on to the Tall Can Audio feed in your podcast application. You decide you want to listen to Audio Whiplash number 55. All you're doing is getting the link that contains that data. Okay, it'll have the title of the show description, the date, the little thumbnail logo that goes with it. All that's in the RSS feed. And your application that you're downloading it from is the storefront, so that you don't see all the technical links and garbage and jargon. It's all translated and put in front of you in a way that makes sense. If you wanted to look at it as the podcast being a house and the podcast application that you're being the mailbox, that wouldn't be a terrible way to look at it. You're trying to get to this house, so here's the right mailbox. Okay, got it, right? I'm looking at the right mailbox now instead of having to go and, you know. So CBC releases their podcasts for free, the same way as we do. the same way as a lot of independent people and other major corporations, however you want to podcast, like they're out there. So CBC starts going after some people who are using their podcasts in their applications. So instead of using iTunes, there's 1,000 third-party podcast applications out there that some people like to use, and CBC is going after some of them, not all of them, and saying, no, you can't use our podcasts. You're not allowed to put your mailbox in front of our house. So people are jumping all over them, saying, this is stupid. When you put a podcast out for free, anyone who wants to use it can use it. And at first blush, that's true. That's exactly what these look like, and that's exactly how you're supposed to use them. So a little more research comes out. People decide instead of just reacting, they should actually find out what the problem is. What a novel idea that is. And what they find is CBC's complaint isn't that people are building podcast applications and picking up their feed. It's that those podcast applications are trying to monetize themselves. So if you're using the podcast application on your iPhone, there's no ads. Maybe some of the shows you listen to have ads. Like built into the show as you're listening, they'll say, we'll take a quick break, and then they'll try and, you know, there'll be a commercial for something in there. That's okay. iTunes and Apple themselves are not putting ads in there. Apple is not trying to make money off the podcast that someone else has created. That's CBC's issue here. So there's a few ways this can happen. And we've had some conversations here on how to handle it because right now our shows are available on Stitcher. There's a certain percentage of you who are listening on Stitcher. And Stitcher adds their own commercials. So if you're listening on Stitcher and you're hearing commercials, those are not coming from us. Those are coming from Stitcher. And we don't get a cut of that. That's all Stitcher. Now, you have to make a decision for yourself as a podcast creator. Is because Stitcher is a huge platform. Should they be able to make money off me and my work? Or am I uncomfortable with that? If there's commercials, should I be the one making the money for that? The trade-off is it's a huge platform and it gets you in front of a huge audience. So for now, we're on Stitcher. There will come a time where we won't be. When we're ready to start adding our own commercials and our own sponsors, we won't double up on you. You know, we won't have their ads and our ads. I don't like that Stitcher does that, and we will only be there for probably another month or two, to be honest with you. But that's the trade-off. So other people, smaller companies, are building applications. Maybe in the app, you know, you see sometimes at the bottom of different applications, ads for different products. Sometimes it's not going to be right in the show, right? Sometimes it's not going to be an audio commercial. It's going to be something visual in the application itself. Sometimes it will be audio clips put into the podcast, not by the podcast creator. That's what CBC's complaint is. If we're putting this out there for free, you don't get to make money off of us. And honestly, that's a fair stance. Obviously, I'm a little biased as someone doing the same thing. But if I put something out there for free with no ads, no commercials, no promotions, no nothing to my audience, someone else doesn't get to go and put those things in first. CBC's main complaint was they saw in one place that their podcast, the name, their title and the description of their podcast was beside an ad for a porn website. They have a right to say, yeah, you know what? We don't like that. That's not really the company we're trying to keep. It might be the company Talkin Audio is trying to keep. It's probably not the company that CBC wants to keep. So it was an interesting story, and I will link to it below because it just gives a little bit of insight. Maybe some of you aren't that interested. I don't, whatever, I am. You're stuck with me. Just in terms of how this business continues to grow, there's going to be little things like this, right? Now, I actually, you know, as a podcaster, as any podcaster could, your RSS feed that I described earlier, I can put a lock on that. If I want to make money, I can set up a website, I can set up a way that you have to sign up and pay monthly or pay by the episode or whatever, and then you would get a password to get into the RSS feed. Same way as locking the door to the house that I described, right? That analogy. You give me a couple of bucks, I'll let you in the house. So there are other ways to monetize your podcast, but CBC's contention is we're not trying to monetize them. We're not trying to make money on them, and we don't want other people doing that off of our work. And honestly, that's fair. It really is. So I would encourage you, because this story is flying around right now on Twitter and on Facebook, and people saying CBC is stupid and CBC is trying to infringe on, you know, what free means. They're actually not. You read the story. Don't just get swept up in it. They're not trying to stop you from getting it for free or stop you from getting it on whatever podcast application you want. They're trying to stop some guy who spent 3 days, one weekend building a podcast app from making money off their host's work. Anyway, that's probably as far as we need to go on that. I mentioned I wanted to talk a little bit about the Leafs. Managed to get on and get tickets to the Centennial Classic. Many of you will remember, I don't know, a little less than a year ago probably, on Tall Can Sports. I wasn't happy with what the Leafs were given as their centennial celebration, and I'm still really not. If you remember, Montreal in their centennial in 2009 had the draft, they had the All-Star game, they had something else. They got everything. The Leafs had to have an outdoor game made up for them because the NHL and NBC didn't want to put the Winter Classic up in Toronto. Not good for American TV. Well, American TV is paying you $200 million, and Rogers in Canada are paying you $5 billion. Maybe you want to keep that in mind. That's a whole other rant we've done before. We won't do it again today, but it is a fair point. The problem is, if you're a Leafs fan, that your centennial is also the league's centennial, and a few teams are celebrating their 50th birthdays. If you remember, in 1967, Leaf fans are very familiar with that year, that was the last season of the original six, and the league jumped to 12 teams. Teams like Los Angeles and St. Louis began to come in, right? So I think the Flyers also came in at that point. So there's a lot going on here. LA gets the draft, LA gets the All-Star game. St. Louis is having the outdoor game, the Winter Classic itself. So, I mean, there's lots going on here, and it meant they couldn't just give it all to Toronto. So I managed to get on. They're having their Centennial Classic, which will be awesome. It's on New Year's Day against Detroit at BMO Field in Toronto. It's much smaller than most of the venues for the Winter Classic, which I think is going to make it pretty cool. Cost a small fortune to get these tickets. So afterwards, I start looking around to see what else is out there for information, what this whole thing's going to look like. And I wonder, have they announced what the jerseys are going to look like? Well, they haven't. But there is a guy, and I'll post a link, or maybe I'll just post the picture. There's a guy out there, because there's a guy for everything. Everybody's got a guy, right? So there's a guy out there who, for the last several years, has been very good. I don't know if he works for Reebok or what the story is, because obviously he's not giving up his identity. At getting these stories out there early, this is what that jersey is going to look like before it gets. And he was basically dead on when the Leafs are already wearing, you know, brand new uniforms, as everybody knows, this season. He was very good. I believe it was in May and June last year. He said, this is basically what it's going to look like. And he had a mock-up, and he was pretty close. So he's put one out earlier this week on what their Centennial Classic jersey is going to look like. And people do not like it. Now, he could be wrong, but as I said, he's established a bit of a track record for himself. It's a blue, you know what it looks like, to be honest with you? It looks like the Florida Panthers home jersey with a leaf on it instead of a cat. It's blue, and it has a stripe around the middle, if you're picturing kind of that old Toronto St. Pat's jersey. Which was obviously green, or had some green instead of the blue, but that's sort of the look. And even if you wanted to picture a Montreal jersey, it would give you kind of an idea. And the problem is that stripe that's going around it is fairly distracting, and there's a maple leaf in the middle of it, that logo, but it's way too small. Like, it blends right into, it's a white stripe around this blue jersey, and this leaf blends into it. Like I said, I will post the picture. You can head to tallcanaudio.com and look up Unforced Errors number 24, and you'll see it sitting there. It'll be there for you. And it's, I don't hate it, but it's weird. If this whole thing is supposed to be kind of like the current uniform, is supposed to be about celebrating the past, this organization has worn 29 different uniforms over the course of its existence, when you count home and away, the arenas, the St. Pat's, the different evolution of the different Leafs jerseys. They've had 29 different options. Why would you not go back to one of those, or at least something based off one of those, rather than try and create something new? Like, this has got, because the NHL sweater rights have recently been bought by Reebok, and this has their hands all over it. It looks like they're trying to create something new and modern, and that's the complete opposite of what you should be doing here. It's the Centennial Classic. You're celebrating 100 years. You have 29 uniforms to choose from. You're going to make a new one? And then, if that is your plan, make a new one. Don't just grab the Florida Panthers mock-up and dye it a different color. So, I got to be honest, what it kind of looks like, actually, is like when you buy a jersey for a kid, like a baby, that's obviously not been made by the official rights holder. It looks different. It actually doesn't look anything like the uniform, but you do it because it's for a baby, and it's what, that's kind of what this looks like. It's like, yeah, that's a Leaf jersey, but that's not a Leaf jersey that they've ever worn. You can tell it's a knockoff almost, right? So anyway, if the Leaf was made much bigger, like much larger than the stripe, so that it really stood out, I wouldn't hate it on principle. I wouldn't hate the jersey. I just think they've missed the point completely. Hey, it's our 100th birthday. Here's something brand new that we'll never wear again. Well, then why not go back, right? Why not go back in time? Anyway, so like I said, you can find the picture of that, tallcanaudio.com, under Unforced Errors number 24. Quick couple notes on the team. They've won 3 out of 4. It's one positive way of looking at it. They lost their last game 7-0. That's another way to look at it. Which means actually they would have lost on aggregate, if you want to do up the math there. You know, there's still kind of this. It was a great piece by James Myrtle. And you know what? We'll throw a link to that too on the same page over at tallcanaudio.com, because he did a real nice job kind of outlining this. And it's sort of what I'd been thinking for a couple of days. He does a far better job of articulating it. Of this organization sort of being stuck halfway between what they've wanted to be for a long time and what they should want to be and or what they're heading towards. And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's inevitable. Obviously, we're at this interesting point right now where they've got a ton of skill coming, and they've put all these skilled rookies in, and they're very talented and they're very fast, but you still got these pieces left from when you weren't very good. And that would be okay, except they're not old leftover pieces, right? Like the guys that we're talking about, Roman Polak. Well, you traded Roman Polak away and then signed him again. He doesn't fit what you're doing. He's not fast. He's not talented. He doesn't make a good breakout pass, and he's not really doing his job in terms of being a big bag of knuckles in front of the net. I mean, Matt Martin is a guy they just signed this summer. He's supposed to be a grinder. He's supposed to be intimidating. He's supposed to protect all your skilled guys. Well, we just saw against Vancouver, Morgan Rielly getting shots taken at him and getting speared, right? And some of these young guys, he actually put a target on our young guys heading out to Vancouver in a couple of weeks by running over one of their rookies. So he's not doing his thing. Ben Smith is a guy they picked up on waivers. He's been a disaster. I'm not a big fancy stat guy, but one of them that makes a lot of sense to me is possession. possession, he has 38%. He has a 38% possession statistic, meaning when he is on the ice, his team has the puck 38% of the time. That's not very good. You want to be right around 50 at worst, right? Obviously, if you're over 50, your team has the puck more often than the opponent, you're doing okay. You can't be in the 30s and be a defensive guy. You can't, like, he's just not working. He's never going to score for you. He's not defending for you. He's not grinding at the other end because he never has the puck. So you have these pieces. You've picked up Zaitsev, which was a good move. You have added Marner, and you've added Matthews and Nylander, and they're going really well, or at least as well as you can expect for rookies. But it's like they refuse to totally turn the page. A great example is Zach Hyman. He plays on a line with Nylander and Matthews, and he's supposed to be the grit. He's supposed to go and dig out the puck, and you go, yeah, okay, we have room for those guys, but it's not working. It's time to give them some skill. A better example is a guy who was an all-star last year. Now, let's be fair, because if every team has to be represented, being the Toronto Maple Leafs representative at the all-star game is a low bar. They had to take someone, so they took Leo Komarov, and he was having a good start to the year last year. Leo Komarov is playing with Nazem Kadri right now. He has no goals and 3 assists. How is that possible? Naz is not my favorite Leaf, but he's better than that. Like, if you're playing with him, you better be contributing something because he's going to get you the puck. You can't have 3 points, 15 games into the season. So it's like Babcock isn't totally ready to turn the page. And why is that a problem? Well, you've got some guys ready to come back from injury. Matt Hunwick will be back on Sunday, as will Josh Levo. Now, Matt Hunwick is one of Babcock's personal favorites for some reason. He's not good. He is similar to Roman Polak in the type of role that they play, or that they're supposed to play, in terms of being penalty-killing, shutdown-type defensemen, but they're not getting it done. He wasn't before he got hurt, and it was clear. They've had Frankie Corrado. He's a man-sized Frank Corrado. Anyway, sitting in the press box all season. Corrado is not a game-changer. He is not a grind-it-out type of defenseman. He's not going to turn around your power play, but he's a possession guy. He plays the angles well. He can skate. He hasn't gotten a look, even though we're getting hemmed in all the time with less skilled guys on the ice. Josh Levo is a guy that made this team out of camp, sort of. Talented guy, good shooter, not super quick skater, but might fit okay, or at least better with Zach Hyman, if you're trying to be skilled with Matthews and Nylander. He's coming back on Sunday as well. So what's about to happen is you're going to have 24 guys on a 23-man roster. Because let's also not forget you've got Peter Holland sitting in the press box. Again, not a top-end forward, but he's talented, right? He's skilled. And these other guys that you have out there are not. They're just grinders. And if you're not willing to turn the page on that, then it's not going to work, because we just tried to play that game against LA and lost 7-0. Their grinders also score. Their grinders, their hard hitters, their big physical guys are guys like Jeff Carter, are guys like Anze Kopitar, even Dustin Brown, as his career starts to tail down, he's contributing. We can't play that game with those teams, and you're about to play this weekend before these guys come back. Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, who have both in the last couple of years put a tremendous emphasis on speed and skill. Shout out Phil Kessel. So you need, they're not gonna, but you need to get Frank Corrado and Peter Holland in the lineup either on Friday or Saturday. See what they've got. Because on Sunday, two more bodies come back and you've got to start putting guys on waivers to make room. Maybe it's, I think it's probably going to be Corrado. But, you know, that's a travesty when the option is to keep Polak and Hunwick over him. It's a terrible decision. But it looks like that's what's going to happen. So look for that this weekend. It looks like on Friday they'll go with the same lineup that got just blown away by the Kings on Tuesday. But look on Saturday. Back half of a back-to-back skilled team like Pittsburgh. Get your shitty, I can't play a skill game guys out of the lineup, because that is a skill team that's going to come out. And you're not going to beat Pittsburgh skill for skill, but let's see how you can match up. Give Holland a shot and give Corrado a shot and then make a decision, because you got guys coming back and Babcock's not going to let you waive Matt Hunwick. So he's staying. What happens with Josh Levo? He needs waivers. He can't just be sent to the minors. So, I mean, that's another guy that you have to decide on. Like I said, anyone that's not staying is going through waivers and you risk losing them. Unless you're sending down like a Connor Brown or someone who started to play a little better for the Leafs last couple of games, to be honest with you. So I wouldn't want to do that. So anyway, a couple of things to look for this weekend. That's all I was putting out there. If you're going to play two skilled teams, it's a good time to play your skill against them, because your grit isn't going to help you worth a good goddamn. So look for that over the course of the weekend, and look for on Sunday or Monday the Leafs to put someone on waivers. And look for it to probably be a guy who never got a fair chance here, like Frank Corrado. Anyway, that, I think, will do it for Unforced Errors 24. It had been a week or two since we did this. We'd had some other shows up. If you haven't checked them out, two new Whiplashes have gone up in the last week or so. Both have been very popular in terms of number of downloads. So I guess the topics there were speaking to people. You can check those out. And the most recent Tall Can Sports was pretty interesting, I thought, talking about what's happening to ESPN and their subscriber base as it continues to just fall apart, what that's going to mean for the future of sports broadcasting, and also women in mixed martial arts. You know, I felt like that conversation could have gone on a long time. I was very open in saying that early on, I wasn't a huge fan. I wasn't totally on board with women's mixed martial arts. I've gotten there. I don't know if that was coming through in the last show. I am a fan. I do respect what they do. I do wonder, I guess my point was, how can you say that you're respecting women athletes and treating them as equals in the UFC when at the same time there's a chick in a bikini walking around with the round three sign up over her head? What are you? Are you a women's sports organization? Or are you the guys out there that still treat women like eye candy? So that's an interesting discussion as well. That's on the most recent Tall Can Sports. You can find all of those on your favorite podcast application or at tallcanaudio.com. Until next time, my name's Matt Robinson. Thanks for listening.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.